It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. I think a lot of times we talk about well-being at work and emotional intelligence, and everybody wants to be motivated. But the question always becomes how. It feels ill-defined, and it feels just like something we haven't really put our minds around. I know there's a lot of work out there, but today's conversation is with an amazing a person who is an expert in this kind of intelligent thinking and what we call parts work. Her name is Tracy Candido, and she is an internationally accredited executive leadership coach. She has this incredible podcast called Hidden Parts, which you should definitely check out, and is the founder of Wavemaker, a coaching and a learning and development organization. Tracy, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio. I cannot wait to learn all about this subject.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's start with my kind of quick introduction. I think everybody's listening is realizes we're going to be talking about how to well-being, if I can say that, and how to do it yourself, and some really interesting thoughts. But let's start with this term that I'm not as familiar with, that you center a lot of your work around, which is parts work. Talk to me about what that is. Let's start with a definition.
Sure. Parts work is a concept or a methodology that says that we contain a multitude of inner voices, different parts of ourselves, different sides of our personality that cause us to think, feel, and act differently given any situation. So these different parts are technically neural pathways in your mind that were developed young in order to help you mitigate risk. When you're young, risk is not being loved or accepted. As adults, we can't turn off these neural pathways necessarily. And so they continue to fire. They're what we call like automatic patterns, right? Mm-hmm. Like we do them without even realizing. But firing these neural pathways, like listening to these inner voices in our mind that are mitigating the risk from when we were kids, they're, you know, that those things are not still necessarily holding our long-term values, our long-term goals in mind. And so we are acting on behalf of them without realizing it. But the human mind is neuroplastic. So we can actually intercept those behavioral patterns and those ways of doing. I don't know if you've ever been like, gosh, why do I keep doing this? Why am I like this? Like what I can't, I'm on this like Ferris wheel. I'm stuck. Yeah. Parts work is a tool to help you intercept those neural pathways. And it's very imaginative and creative.
So it's almost like the first piece of this is even just understanding the premise that you just described. Hey, these things exist. Here's why they exist. And I can do something about it. It's not just, this is the way I am. Is that right?
Exactly. That's right. Yes. We often think about our personality. Like I'm a people person. I'm not organized, right?
I'm an introvert. I'm an extrovert. Exactly.
And it's really not the way. Neuroscience tells us that we actually have many, many sides to ourselves. And when my clients hear it's not you, it's a part of you, the relief that washes over them is immense, because then they're like, oh, okay, now I can do the things I want to do.
I just want to sit on that for a second. That premise, it's not you, it's a part of you, right? It's not you made a bad choice. That doesn't mean you are bad, right?
It takes the judgment out of it.
Yeah. That's a really, really big learning that I have heard previously, but good to kind of refresh on ourselves. Now there's, I think probably for a decade, and we talked before we started recording, that mental health and well-being is a topic that is on the rise. And we've been thinking, I mean, I think businesses, humans have been thinking about this for a very long time. When we think about well-being or talk about well-being in terms of, well, maybe it's the same. I don't know if it's at work or not. I'm trying to just center it on kind of the work life. What should we be thinking about? Because I feel like we always are like, hey, we just need to, we need to have a, better mental health, right? And I'm gonna give you a subscription to the meditation app. That
A
has
gym
been
membership.
insufficient, clearly. How should we be thinking about well-being, mental health, et cetera?
Yes, that's such a good question. I think, well-being is something to consider in this way. It is a practice of working to stay regulated on a daily basis so you can do the things that you want to do. And to me, that looks like, clarity on what you want to do. Oftentimes in organizations, we have our goals set for us, right? So feeling aligned to feel motivated to work on those goals, but also to understand what connection looks like for you. Connection to yourself, being self-aware, being connected to others, collaboration, and then feeling the confidence to move things over the finish line. To me, that feels like well-being where you're regulated, you feel competent, and you feel like you're drawing meaning from your experiences.
Regulation, drawing meaning from your experiences. And would you say that it starts with that? Would a useful way to start, because we're talking about a lot of different things, right? Would step one be let's think about connection? Is that a good, should we start there? Should we push our conversation forward through that door?
Yeah, connection's a good place to start. We had talked about maybe starting with connection to the self. And that's kind of what I mean about clarity on, how you're aligned with the goals set out before you. And oftentimes that's about understanding what, personal motivation is, your personal values, and connecting with the self and connecting with yourself and developing greater self-awareness is, I think, that first step. Parts work does that for you by understanding, again, like what your behavioral patterns are, but also what's important to you and what your strengths are and how you want to center them more. And so then how do you want to rise to the occasion to meet that goal? So it really does start with connection to the self.
We started by talking about how our brains are plastic and things can change. I'm not necessarily introvert or extrovert. But you're talking about what are my values, and are those core truths that aren't fungible?
Fungible. I think values are, they're not beliefs. They are undeniable. Truths might be a good word for them. They are the driving forces behind everything we do. The things that we can undeniably, or we undeniably want to center, whether we do or not, that's
That's the next thing,
emerging.
right?
Right. But, sometimes those values can be in conflict too. I mean, I have a value of adventure and I also have a value of comfort, physical comfort. And so even getting even more detailed about what those values really mean to you, and what circumstances. So yeah, those are kind of the truths that are driving, core driving forces for you.
So do we have to, or do you advise to that you need to define your own truths in order to connect to self? Is that how we do that?
There are many ways to do that, and bringing back parts work again too is oftentimes we are feeling like stuck. We have a conversation that won't go anywhere. We have a team member who is just we're just like, why? They're not changing, and we're giving them feedback and we're not changing. You might feel purposeless in your work, whatever it is for you. Parts work is an avenue in, because it's saying what part of you is driving the ship right now, and somebody might say, well, I'm feeling really afraid of, if I give this person any more feedback, then I'm going to be, I don't know, people pleasing for them, or caretaking for them, or the opposite, or I'm going to be micromanaging, whatever it is for you. And so then we explore that. Okay, like, what is that voice telling you inside of you, right? Because we all have these like log lines that we have for ourselves. I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm not enough of this, I'm not enough of that. And we explore what is getting in the way of, that there's an inner conflict often where we feel of two minds, that cognitive dissonance, that where we end up getting stuck because we can't make a choice forward. And so in that process of, exploring what this, inner voice, this hidden part is really trying to protect you from, which is usually the discomfort, the uncomfortable emotion, rejection, disappointment, shame, all of that, then we start to explore, okay, well, how do you want to show up? And that's where the values start to show up, is I want to show up as a confident person here, and so, like, okay, well, let's unpack confidence, and where, what values are connected to that for you?
It's almost like you have to do the five whys, the classic consulting five whys, but for yourself and not for your client. It's like, why am I afraid to? Why do I do this? What does it make me afraid of? And it that kind of maybe goes back to a primal fear or something that happened in the past. Okay, so so that's a great way, a great entry point into connection to self. Any other things that you'd like to surface around connection to self before we move to connection to others?
Connection to self is integral. That is really how you're going to develop and grow. That's the first thing. If you never do anything else, that's the most important thing.
Great. Okay. So let's then start to get into this system of humans that, or yeah, this organization of humans that comprise our teams and the people that we work with and companies. What is the ideal state? What are we looking for when we're thinking about connection to others? What does that mean?
I think connection to others is vulnerable and trusting. It is fun. It is joyful. Get oxytocin from it, right? Oxytocin fuels creativity. It fuels innovation. And creativity and innovation fuel hope. And that's what we all want to be feeling. So that is what connection is to others, in my opinion.
There might be some folks listening now shaking their head or rolling their eyes, right? Like, whoa, you're asking me to look to my colleagues to supply this good feeling, creative oxytocin. How do we get to a place of this con how do we connect to others?
I'm so glad you asked that. Emotional intelligence, Josh. It always comes back to that for me. We build emotional intelligence by not only becoming self-aware and connecting to ourselves and what we want and who we are. And our obstacles, but also through, I just lost my train of thought. Through emotional intelligence of, I wonder what just brought me off topic. That was weird. I was just thinking, I'm getting so much oxytocin from our conversation, and I feel flooded with it right now. I'm just like in the love zone. All to say, basically, emotional intelligence is the opportunity for us to regulate ourselves enough to not be reactive in those conversations. Like, and
Oh, yeah.
when we're involved, right? And it can get volatile, it can get uncomfortable. We have our own behavioral patterns and relationships. We ice people out, we turn away, we don't say our truth, right? And so we're not being vulnerable, we're not being honest, and we're not building trust.
Okay, let's talk about that because you're just triggering for me those moments where you could just feel it fucking welling up inside of you, right? You're just like, what the mother, right? Like, so there's that kind of extreme, which I think we've all
Right,
experienced, but
volatile.
right, volatile. And like, and now, I'm a little better at it now if I feel it, right? I can step away sometimes. But I fear that it's not the most volatile that is the problem or the state that we get in. And you said it is, or you described sort of this moving away from a reflexive response. And, when someone calls me out and says, wait, what did you mean? Repeat that. And I was like, oh, I have no idea why I just said that. Or even like, I'm just making assumptions and like I'm just operating at a way that is not, it is putting a film over reality. And so your statement about regulation feels very true and present for me of like as I get older, I'm working on regulation. I'm looking for ways to deal with that. And it just it's so, I'm just going on because I'm like totally vibrating here, right? It's like, oh my God, exactly. So how is there something that I can do to before, during, or after those like moments that help with that?
This is what I do with teams. We talk about a time that we can do past or current, depending on what their situation is. We talk about either a time where they felt there was that, like, oh fuck, what do I do in this relationship or in this situation, or a time that they're currently stuck in something. And we do this exploration of, like, what are the protector parts coming in for you? Is it a hyperachiever? Is it a perfectionist? Is it a people pleaser? And is it a procrastinator? And is it something else? And we explore how they show up in their dynamics together, in their group system, really, right? So imagine if you contain multitudes and you have 10 people on your team. Imagine then you have 10 people with multitudes sitting. You have infinity parts sitting on the table, right? And that's incredibly complex. And so it really comes down to, again, like, understanding how those parts show up for you. And then the communication style could be, oh, my perfectionist is really coming up here, and I have this impulse to correct your work, but I know that's just my perfectionist part coming up. And
So
then giving space to hear.
you're admitting to it to everybody. So you have a conversation beforehand and you're saying, oh, Tracy's got this perfectionist aspect to her. Hey, I have this perfectionist aspect to me and it might come up, right? And so it's almost like a emotionally intelligent version of I'm just being the devil's advocate where it's like,
Oh,
hey, oh, I
yeah.
feel this impulse and we've talked about this, right? So it's
Yeah, but
not just, right?
being the
Like
devil's advocate is passive aggressive. I feel like this is super pro. I mean, and maybe that's not even what you mean. You're just, like, coming up with, like, a catchphrase.
It's a way of identifying a persona or something. Strike that from the record, please
Starting
continue.
from the record, we're not, yeah. It's saying, like, okay, so if you give your perfection, say you give your procrastinator the name Swamp Guy, which is literally one of my clients' parts, it becomes super fun and I think kind of funny when you're like, oh shoot, Swamp Guy is, like, on 11 right now. Okay, like, we need to talk about this. Like, who do I want to call in now? I want to call in, like, casual creative dude who is, like, his name is, like, Chance, and he's like, hey bro, everything's okay. I don't know, I'm just making this up.
I get it.
But like, it really is about, and that's also how you build trust, is you see other people kind of going through it too. It's super vulnerable. And I'm not saying it's easy, right? But we start very small, where we have these conversations about how it shows up for you, and then how you want to be using it as a tool for everyday conversation.
Can I ask your can I ask for a piece of advice maybe, or I'm just curious
Sure.
about, you're talking about going in and talking like teams of 10, and my immediate response is, sure, some of those folks will be willing to lean in and play this game, but what if they don't cop to it? How do you build, I think the answer is building that trust with that team. And so my question is, how do you build trust? But you can challenge that too. From my experience, it's gaining that trust. But how do you do that? And so that, and what happens when someone is not copping to that? Like they're like, oh, I'm too, right? They're too in their grooves.
Yeah, they're resistant. Two answers to that. One is, are you talking about this being a working agreement as part of the culture of your team? And going back to that, that's one of the outputs of this work that I do with teams, is at the end of exploring all the parts, calling forward their centered part, their inner champion, and saying, okay, now that you're wearing your inner champion hats, what working agreements do you have for, building in emotional intelligence into your day to day? So to me, it's about culture. Are they, I don't like the word fitting in, but like, are they, why does it not feel safe to try for them? That would be, I think, the bigger question. And then what do they want, right? Because it's all about, the team has to agree together. It's about consent, alignment. And so that, I think it's a deeper question about that. And then also individual coaching. Like I always say that, really, because it always goes back to you personally and
To
your whole
self,
inner.
right? That makes sense. Because it's like, how do you get to this group thing if you don't get, like, we that's what we you told me, right? You've explained starting with self is most important, and here we are, like, we're gonna show up. It just doesn't feel, it feels hard to do if you don't have everybody like coming to the table, honestly. Maybe that's the right way
And
to put it.
it's also hard to do when the organization is slow. When this always happens, there's one team that is on the jagged edge of how they want to be working, and they're really innovative, right? And they want to go beyond best practices, and they want to adopt things like emotional intelligence. Okay. When the organization is kind of slow on the uptick, it can be challenging. Like the team might be operating really well, but in the
The
organization,
organization is rejecting.
so yeah, I mean, I think that happens a lot.
It definitely happens a lot. It definitely happens a lot. Okay. Finally, connection to work. When we're talking about, so let's recenter, right? We're talking about well-being. We're talking about emotional intelligence, yourself. What drives you, and what are your past experiences? Then you're talking about showing up. I contain multitudes, swamp man versus, chance, and all the different aspects, and having a working agreement, talking with one another, explaining that I'm not always an introvert, or I'm not always this or that. Now we're moving into connection to work. Talk to me about how that happens and how that becomes part of this comprehensive package of well-being.
So after you're kind of, well, not, it's like alongside, right? It's an emergent practice. So as you are exploring who you are and your behavioral patterns that don't work for you anymore, and who you want to call forward, so to speak, instead. And as you're using that as a communication tool and as a development tool for your team, or whatever group of people, you know, that you're collaborating with on a day-to-day basis. You're also then using it as an opportunity to feel motivated, given any project that you're working on or any goal that you're trying to get over the finish line. You are calling forward the parts that feel motivated, or you're trying to understand why you don't feel motivated about something. Your job is not be all end all, right? And so if you don't feel motivated over and over, that's, I think, a larger question. If you are feeling connected to other folks on the team, maybe there's an opportunity where that person's, you know, inner champion with the strength is the one that is going to be more of a upfront leader, you know, or a leader from the side or behind, you know, however you're organizing that. So leaning on others as an opportunity to get projects over the finish line. And really building confidence about what you think is possible. And again, like finding your voice within that, in order to, I think, make the things in a way that really serves your, like, it all comes back to well-being. Like, I have a client who works for a huge tech company. And is finding themselves in a management role and doesn't want to be there because it's all about reactionary behavior and being on the back foot. And they are a creative person and they want to be proactive and they want to be building, right? And they love building tools to help people and they are so good at it. And they're realizing that the part of them that is in that reactionary mode is actually a very comfortable and familiar part. And so they keep putting themselves in that situation over and over and over
Even
again,
though they don't want to be.
even though they don't want to. It's an internal conflict constantly, right? Because they're worried that if they don't deliver, then they're going to be in trouble. And to them, that is a very strong motivator. So it's about understanding what are your longer term motivators, right? These protective parts might seem, you know, like they're driving you forward, especially like a hyperachiever part or a people pleaser part, but they don't have your long term goals in mind. And so it really is your relationship to work is about like, you know, putting your personal spin on stuff and you know, standing out or being a good team player. It's like, what role do you want to play and why? And then how is your inner champions leading that role instead of the protector parts? Because all that's doing is, again, like trying to mitigate risk, it trying to keep you protected from the playing bigger. And so if you want to play bigger at work, if you want to make more of an impact, it's really important to do this work so that you can operate from a place of like truth for yourself.
Which is, like opening up the energy channels, right? Like that's what's gonna encourage that. Last week's episode, I had this really interesting discussion about organizations needing to learn to be more dynamic in their structure. What I hear here, and push back if it's wrong, poke some holes, there you're the you've said a few little things that make me think, oh, it kind of depends on the project, who's going to be the champion, like where they are in their year or their lives. I'm ready to lead, I want to be creative. And going all the way back to the plastic fungible you, where your role tends to be currently, today, one's role tends to be the same every time. And even organizations that are moving towards project-based work, where you can assemble a team, you're kind of picking from, you're like, oh, I'm going to pick the creative, and I'm going to pick the all-star leader, and I'm going to pick, right? Like it's like a baseball team, and you're like, that person's a good batter, or what, I don't know, whatever it is, hitter and thrower, sorry, baseball folks. But in fact, you're describing a world, a team that can, and humans on a team that can change and be willing to change and be interested in different parts at different times. And if that is true, boy, does that sound like a lot of complicated work and effort and energy.
In a bad way.
I think, no, I'm taking on the great question. Thank you. I'm taking on, I didn't realize, I was taking on the persona of a leader, right? Like, how do we pre-butt this? How do we establish a system that enables this to happen, where we can play on people's strengths as they change? Those strengths will change. Like, what are the structures that will allow us to get out of today's strictures or something like that?
Yes, emergent thinking and being a systems thinker. Lots of lovely books about how to do that. And I think figuring out what it means to be a resilient, adaptable organization, and that has learning at its core.
You talked about a working agreement, which sparked to me like a project agreement. I am more and more thinking about it. I'm dragging you along the Josh journey here. So thank you for playing along. I am thinking about, right, the role of the project, like the project agreement, the project book, that we need to have more clearly established beginning, middle, and end cycles where we can pull together the people. And or you can even before you pull together the people, say, is this something that sparks for you? What role would you want to play? Let's come together and have these conversations so that, and I think this goes exactly to your point of, I'm going to share which part of me, we're going to point it out, we're going to say it, right? Like when you, oh, what's that thing where it's like when you point it out, it loses its energy or it loses its power or something like that. When
I
you
don't
call it
know.
out, it becomes, you know, it's like when you say the thing, right? You're like the say the thing that's bothering you, it
You
lets
take
the
the
air
power
out a
away
little
from it.
bit. Yeah, you take the power away from it. Okay, so you have this, I'm going to put it out in the world. I'm going to put it out on the table with my team, and this is where I'm at, and here's how I can play, and this is the role I want to play, and then off and running. And then we can leave those assumptions. Then we can have those assumptions for X period of time, and then we can start working. Okay. That's what I just put together. I don't know. You can respond or not. This has been incredible to think through this.
Yeah, so I think a project agreement is a little bit different than a working agreement, because a working agreement is an opportunity to say, how do we want to be working together? What happens when things are great? What happens when things are not great? You know, what are the practices we want to put in place as a safe hold? You know, what conversations do we want to have to you know, pick up motivation. You know, I encourage, when I've done this with teams, I encourage them to incorporate emotional intelligence aspects into their working agreement or their parts. You know, like, do we want to, you know, I want to, you know, I expect others to ask me, like, what part is leading the meeting right now, you know, and what I expect of myself is to be honest with them. You know, so kind of things like that with the working agreement. And I think in terms of like a dynamic structure on of an organization where there are different like pinch hitters. Am I using that baseball term right?
Yes, inch hitter, yes.
For different things, you know, for different projects, PartsWork comes into this too in order to build confidence, right? Because you might really see, as a leader, you might see something, you might see a spark in someone, but they might not see it themselves. And this is where like imposter syndrome comes in, where someone's like really lacking the confidence. They have the skills, but the confidence is just as important. And so, how do they build the confidence by, again, calling in these inner champions and having them lead the task?
Lots here. Thank you. I love this working agreement. And to me, it feels central that this working agreement from the hidden parts Tracy playbook is critical. The emotional intelligence feels very critical to the working agreement in this kind of new world of work. I am so jazzed about this. It feels very much like unlocking the new ways that humans should be thinking about working together. Too long, for too long, we've been on We've been cogs or, assembly line machine thinking. And oh my gosh, I don't know. There's just a lot here that feels like we're really, really onto something about how to work together. Are there any tools or kits that you have that can help people get into this? Obviously, I think people should check out, you should definitely check out Hidden Parts. It is a top 50 podcast in the mental health category, which is incredible. So lots of good stuff there. How else? I know that I love a free tool that people can, I'm sure the people are listening, my community loves it too. Do you have anything that can help folks learn more about this and or go into it with themselves or their team?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I have a field guide to your hidden parts. If you listen to the podcast, there's a workshop on there where you can explore like whatever voices come up for you. And there's also a self-guided toolkit that you can download. There's also a Substack that you can read called Hidden Parts Hotline. But the field guide is a little bit more of a deeper dive into these kind of archetypes that I had mentioned briefly before. Some four major protector parts that come up for innovative people and leaders, and then some likely inner champions that you might want to explore for yourself. There's some like bonus content on there. And so you can go to the website wavemakercoaching.com, and it'll be there. It's super lo-fi. I love lo-fi. You just grab the Google Doc, and make a copy, and you can print it if you want. But it's
Awesome.
a way for you to start to unlock some of this thinking for yourself.
All right. So I'll just repeat that. You can find these toolkits and the field guide to hidden parts at wavemakercoaching.com. Tracy Candido, amazing. This has been so energizing and just mind-opening. I really love your what you're thinking about, how you're going about it, and some of the just even the flavor of it all is so compelling and really different. And I'm just so grateful that you were able to come on Great Mondays Radio and share a little bit about your work.
Well, thank you, Josh. It's been such a wonderful time to be exploring emotional intelligence in the age of AI, and how we stay human and how we stay connected to ourselves. I've loved this conversation. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, the right thing at the right time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays, and you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.